This is a Getty podcast.
Before we get started, I have to know, are you a cat person or a dog person? If you said dog person, can you pretend you said cat person? Because today, a very special cat tells her tale.
Meow.
Welcome to If Objects Could Talk, a podcast where art and artifacts get to leave the museum vault and tell their side of the story. Thanks for joining us as we bring objects into the light. When you imagine life in ancient Egypt, do you think about pyramids and mummies? Maybe libraries? Or do you think about cats? Cats were kind of a big deal for Egyptians. They protected food from pests, for instance. But they were also important in Egyptian mythology. The goddess Bastet had the head of a cat and the body of a human, and she had the power to shapeshift into a fully feline form. This is why many of her worshippers left cat-shaped gifts at her temples. Today's guest was likely one of these gifts, a bronze cat statuette, about 1 foot tall. It was made in Egypt over 2,000 years ago. In the grand history of Egypt, that's more than 2,000 years after the pyramids were built.
Wow!
And a little before Cleopatra met her serpentine end. This cat has had a history of being misunderstood, so we are grateful she agreed to postpone her nap to get her story straightened out. Here she comes!
Wow! I am sure it's a great delight to hear from me. But this is no casual audio interlude. There have been a lot of rumors and half-truths told about me in the past. Some thoughtless gossip. So, I thought I would set the record straight one last time, and then wash my paws of the entire situation. First, I am not, nor have I ever claimed to be the goddess Bastet. I am merely a beautiful gift made in her image, in celebration of her divinity, and perhaps in fear of her power as well. There were thousands of bronze and wood cat statuettes like me, meant to be votives at temples dedicated to the goddess. However, I am one of a kind. Oh, I should probably explain what a votive is. A votive is a gift or offering to say thank you. What do you do to thank someone? Do you draw a picture or give a big hug?
Aww.
I think everyone should practice a little more gratitude.
Thank you.
It makes you feel warm, like standing in the Egyptian sun. Try it. Write a thank you note to someone, even if it's to yourself. Celebrate a great choice or accomplishment, and don't spare any details. Details matter when you're giving thanks. My favorite way to give thanks is to take a little nap, because being well rested is a gift for everyone. I say, thank you self for being gorgeous, and then off to dreamland. For those of you talking about my size, well, I love the way I look. I'm not very big, only about a foot tall, about the height of $2 bills. But I sit upright with my head held proudly and my ears at attention. Don't let my tail curled around my front paws fool you. I may love a good nap, but you should beware of my bite. I also heard that I am some sort of diva. A cat wears a little jewelry and suddenly you're typecast? Fine, guilty as charged. I am a fancy cat. My eyes are currently bare, but were likely inlaid with gold or another precious material, like stone or glass. I can hardly remember anymore. See, not so materialistic after all. But I do still have my necklace with a pendant of Wachat, or sacred eye amulet, which looks like a stylized eye and eyebrow. But I don't just wear it because it's dazzling. I wear it because it has meaning. The story goes that the eye was stolen from Horus, the god of goodness and kingship, by Set, the god of the wild, untamed nature. This caused chaos in the universe, which I don't think is necessarily bad. I mean, which cat among us has never knocked a glass off a ledge just because? But anyway, the eye had to be brought back to reestablish order. Yada, yada, yada. And it represents healing and protection. Just a few of my dear goddess Bastet's many specialties. Bastet was the daughter of the sun god Ra and traveled with him across the sky in his sun boat to move the sun throughout the day from sunrise to sunset. She was also the goddess of music, dance, family healing, and birth. She had the head of a cat and the body of a human, but when she needed to protect her father, she turned 100% cat, which means she was 100% fierce. And if I may be so bold as to speak for all cats for a moment, we are not idle, tame creatures. We are powerful protectors. And you are so lucky we allow you to keep us as pets. Where are the thank you notes for the cats of today? Why, in my time, cats belonging to the wealthy families were adorned with jewels, like my beautiful eye necklace. And when a cat died, as a sign of mourning, the cat owners shaved off their eyebrows and continued to mourn until their eyebrows grew back. Some cats were so beloved that they were mummified and placed in tombs with their owners. It's true. The belief was that by placing cats and their owners in the same tomb, the pair could remain together in the afterlife. Huh, and you say dogs are a man's best friend. How about not? I've also heard rumors going around that I am made of 100% catitude. Whatever that is. But I assure you, I'm 100% bronze. I can prove it. I was made from a mold in one of the most advanced technical processes from antiquity called lost wax casting. Lost wax casting was so advanced that it's still used today. An artisan made a rough cat model out of clay. Next, a thin layer of wax was modeled over the clay with all the finer details, like my whiskers and necklace. Then, my entire shape was encased with more clay, leaving a few open channels and vents. The whole block of clay and wax was heated, melting the middle layer of wax in between the core and the outer clay shell. In the now empty space where the wax used to be, hot liquid bronze was poured. When the bronze had cooled, the mold was broken open, and voila! A perfect kitty cat with a tummy full of fire clay. That could be removed to create a hollow inside. Maybe the perfect space for a cat mummy to spend eternity? I'm sure that being hollow on the inside is where the rumors that I'm heartless came from. But that's also not true. How can I be heartless when I love me? Meow. Now, on to the rumors about my age. Because of my youthful and smooth appearance, for a long time, experts didn't believe I was really an ancient Egyptian cat. They thought I was merely a young copycat. Fake. To prove that I was authentically me, I had to go through all sorts of tests. They told me it was all perfectly safe, but still, I was quite nervous. If you've ever been to a hospital, you'll understand what I mean. The lights, sounds, and machines can be very overwhelming. But just like you have to be brave so nurses and doctors can make you feel better, I had to be brave to prove my doubters wrong. Here's how it went down. First, a team of conservators and other experts brought me into their laboratory. Conservators are like doctors who keep artworks like yours truly healthy. They use the latest tools to understand how we're made and what we're made from, so they can keep us looking and feeling our best. Once the conservators got me in the lab, they took x-rays, did metal analysis, and used teeny tiny microscopes to check my insides. Have you ever gotten an x-ray? Maybe to find a broken bone? The experts didn't find a broken bone, but they did discover something rattling around in my head. Bits of ancient clay, perhaps. I would need surgery to pull out the items stuck inside. So, I was taken off of my wooden base, and a conservator reached inside and expertly removed a piece of material that was near my ear. A sample of that material was carefully packaged and was sent to a laboratory in Oxford, England for testing. Like I said, I'm a very fancy cat. Turned out that the material could be dated to between 1,700 and 2,700 years ago. So, we have real proof that I wasn't lying about my age. My youthful glow is from an experimental skincare regimen involving beeswax and plenty of rest. Wow. Setting the record straight is exhausting. Back to the vault. I'm sure, now that the truth is out, I am going to have the best catnap of my 9 lives.
I hope you enjoyed learning about cats and conservation. Join us next time when a fish flask swims into the studio. To see photographs of the Bastet statuette and learn more about her conservation, visit our website at getty.edu/podcasts. This episode was written by Tokara Elise and produced by Zoe Goldman. Chloe Maylee Bunt voiced the statuette. Theme music, mixing, and sound design by Alexandra Kalinowski. Christopher Sprinkle is executive producer. Special thanks to curators Ken LaPatton, Judith Barr, Hannah Sugioka, and Sarah Cole, as well as conservator Susanna Gansica. Catch you next time.